This is Will's Band of the Week for June 14th, 2015. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris live in studio.
Louder.
Oh, I'm supposed to talk into this thing?
Yeah.
Nice.
So people probably, it's probably like a suspenseful thing. They turn the podcast on and then it's a suspense. Will Chris be live in studio? And then right. When he is, it's just like this incredible excitement goes just.
I know. They just have totally. To, they have to turn the podcast off at that moment. Just so their speakers don't blow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like turning on a Brewer game. Who's going to be batting leadoff today? Oh, it's the catcher. Jonathan Lucroy. What do you know?
All that wisdom coming out of your speakers from me.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it to you in your ear holes.
It's a lot of
parliament. Just like Parliament Funkadelic. I'm like the George Clinton of podcasting.
I'm like the Bill Clinton of podcasting.
Hey, wait a minute.
I don't even know what that means.
No, that's like, that was like overwhelming to try to like get that analogy going. Like it just overloaded my brain.
Yeah. Let's not think too hard about that one.
Okay.
So,
music news.
Yeah, what are we supposed to talk about?
Let's talk about that Pitchfork review that they changed.
Yeah.
You guys read about that?
Scandalous.
Why don't you introduce the whole subject before I start complaining about it?
Apparently, they had a review of the Sun Kill Moon album. And is that guy's name pronounced Mark Kozelek?
Kozelek.
Kozelek?
Kozelek? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mark Kozelek. He's the Sun Kill Moon guy. He's been offending people a lot in the last couple of years. And Pitchfork did a review of his album, and then it suddenly disappeared. Apparently, the review itself never like made it to anywhere because people would have posted it, right?
No, it is up. You can see...
The original one?
Yeah, people have...
So they found it?
Screen caps of it and stuff. It got a 9.2.
Oh, did it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so they gave it a great review, but in the meantime, he was really obnoxious and made ridiculous remarks toward a Pitchfork contributing writer, so they substituted it with a bad review.
Yeah, what did he do that was all that offensive?
Well,
I mean, other
what he said was pretty bad.
Other than that time where he pretended to be black and was elected head of the NAACP. That was pretty offensive.
Yeah.
But
in this case, he was at a festival.
That's called topical humor right there.
Yes. Yeah. He was at a festival, and I don't know the name of the Pitchfork writer.
Laura Snapes.
Snapes, okay. Well, she was doing a longer, in-depth piece on him, and was doing some phone interviews and stuff, and was trying to arrange a face-to-face, which I guess he was more or less okay with, but he found out that she'd been talking to a lot of his friends and acquaintances and colleagues and stuff to learn a little bit about him. And maybe asking some questions that, you know, talking about things that he might not prefer that she'd bring up in the article. So he started saying in front of this big crowd, like, what is it, Leslie Snapes?
No, that's your thing of Wesley Snipes.
Or Professor Snape from Harry Potter.
I think it's Laura Snapes.
Laura Snapes. Well, he's, you know, he called her the B word and suggested that all she wanted to do was... this lewd act to him, and suggested that if she wanted to do that, she needed to get in line. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But that's no excuse whatsoever for what Pitchfork did.
They're like, okay, well, now we're going to give you a 6 instead.
That's right? Insane. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Among the code of album reviewing,
that's about as bad as it gets.
Now, I didn't see the original 9.2, but I did read the 6 or whatever it was. And so they did say, the reviewer did say something like, it's impossible to separate him from his persona And so it was like they were just barely starting to admit that, that they gave him a bad review because of his persona.
Why? Why is that impossible to separate? I mean, I don't know.
It was impossible for them because they were not happy.
Well, too bad. Well, if I'm a movie reviewer and I go watch a Woody Allen movie and I go in there thinking, this guy's a sicko. I can't wait to bash this movie. I don't deserve... I'm betraying my profession.
Your objectivity.
You cannot do that.
Yeah.
You cannot do that at all.
On the other hand, I mean, we sit here and we talk about albums every week, and there are some bands that maybe I don't give as much credit to, or I won't listen to, or I don't like just because of kind of who they are. They kind of turn me off or whatever. Like, Father John Misty, for instance, got critical reviews. Everybody loves him. But I know he, like, did an interview with one of my friends, and he was, like, really mean to her. So he's just a jerk. And so I don't want to listen to that album. It has colored my opinion of him. So,
but you're talking about that.
Yeah.
You're admitting that.
Yeah.
Pitchfork didn't say in that review, remember that 9.2 review? Well, forget it. We learned that he's a real jerk and he hurt the feelings of one of our writers. We had this other writer do a bad review of it. You know?
Yes.
It's when you try to hide it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, I think I was talking
to Josh Rouse. Good reviews, by the way.
That's right.
You still get, and yet we talk about the reasons that we would have to not do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're on the level
better than everyone else.
Well, we're better than Pitchfork was in this case.
Yes.
I just think that's just awful.
Yeah.
I was talking to Grant about this, and I think his viewpoint is he could probably articulate it better than I can, but would be that this is always what Pitchfork is doing. They're always reviewing things with sort of an eye toward maybe not the same as this Kozelek thing, but you know, that they really aren't objectively reviewing things as a general rule. They're like, if they think it's going to be perceived as cool, then they're going to give it a better review. And, you know, it's not really
absolutely.
It's not like we can pretend that they're objective to begin with in any sense, really, right?
Well, I think that's fair, but that's not to let them off the hook either. That's all the more reason to condemn Pitchfork. I think that thing is a disaster.
Well, yeah, keep in mind, this is a website that, in reviewing one of the albums from the band Jet, just put a picture, a gif of a monkey peeing into its own mouth. That's their entire review of the album. So,
right, or they give things like, they'll give something a 0.0.
Like your life is worse off. You're worse off for having listened to this album. Yeah.
Right.
That's just attention seeking and... again, this is inexcusable.
What I was wondering was, would there be enough public outcry and people that are really upset by this that they would feel a need to respond? And so far, they haven't.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be gaining all that much steam. I think people just don't care that much. But
well, we've got to start the campaign.
Yeah.
With a Twitter, something from Twitter, with the hashtag Pitchfork is bad or something. Something really catchy like that.
Yes. Something that really, really hooked the public.
Yeah.
Stupidpitchfork.com.org.tumblr. Something. I don't know. How's the internet work?
I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
The best thing that could happen is if Pitchfork becomes like the Facebook or the MySpace of music review sites, and somebody else just takes them over, and they're just perceived as a
maybe we will
joke.
We could listen to like 30 albums in a week and review them all, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's the other thing. There are not 30 things that come out in a week that are worth talking about. There just aren't. Not even close.
I was listening to another podcast that shall not be named that reviews music, and the guy was giving an album a kind of a mediocre to bad review. I forgot whether it was mediocre or bad. And he said, I listened to this album 11 or 12 times. That's what he said. And I'm thinking, how could he possibly devote that much time to that one thing, you know, when he's a professional music reviewer? I guess maybe they just decided beforehand they were going to review it, and so he just gave it a ton of time. But that's a lot of time on one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never listened to anything 11 or 12 times, hardly ever.
Before we talk about it?
Yeah, or even after. It's rare. I know Chris listens to the Wyoke album 87 times.
Do you still listen to that a lot?
I haven't as much.
Yeah.
I got up over 100 and
when's the last time you listened to it?
Maybe about 3 months ago.
Wow.
That's still pretty impressive.
Jeremy Messersmith was up there a while. Yeah. No, I've probably listened to the, I mean, like Spotify or iTunes or whatever would keep track for me, but I've probably listened to the new Best Coast Coast album, like, I don't know, maybe 20 times or so.
That's really? That's kind of a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Some of us have shortened attention spans.
You're wrong to do that.
Yeah.
How dare I?
It's an incorrect way to listen to music. Yep.
Hey, you know what I did last weekend?
What did you do?
I sat at home and I drank and I watched the 2015 Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
And was it, how much of it did not consist of Dave Grohl? Was there anything that wasn't Dave Grohl?
Dave Grohl was there, as you might well expect. But I mean, the first observation, of course, is that Green Day was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And of course, they're, you know, a band that blew up on the scene when I was in college, so it made me feel absolutely ancient.
Yeah, because you have to be, what, 25 years
25
after?
Years. So yeah, 1990, I guess, was their first, you know, kind of like little independent release.
Mm-hmm.
So they were there and, you know, played a couple songs. Joan Jett was there and came on stage, and that's when Dave Grohl came on to play a song with her, because apparently we needed Dave Grohl to tell us that Joan Jett is awesome.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus came on and sang a song with Joan Jett. She seemed, first of all, whoever is like doing her work facially is pretty good. I'd hire them. Hmm. I mean, she's got to be what, almost 70, in her 60s. How old is Joan Jett?
Oh, not 70.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. No, no.
Joan Jett is probably like late 50s. I don't think, or she could be 60, but.
Well, in the Runaways,
they were
she would
teenagers.
Have been like, right, maybe 70s? She was 20, but probably a little younger.
So I'm going to say late 50s.
Hmm. Okay. Well, still looks great. She gave a speech where, I don't know, these speeches are a little bit self-indulgent about how, like, she took on the political class of America and won, and it's like, eh.
Is that what she did?
Yeah, you had a couple good songs.
Yeah, I thought she just had some pretty decent songs that were on the radio when people used to listen to the radio and then made some money, and now she's...
Right. It's a lot of revisionist history, but, you know, good for them. But the thing that, to me, was most controversial of the evening is the finale, the last person that they inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was Ringo Starr, inducted as a solo artist into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
which is
not only ridiculous, but just a naked ploy to try to get Paul McCartney to come to the ceremony and get up on stage and talk and play.
Yeah. Well, you know, that song Photograph wasn't too... No, yeah,
so,
Photograph.
Just to be clear,
yeah,
we're talking only about ex-Beatles here. Now, Ringo Starr is in, right? But the band Wings is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me? That is true.
That is okay.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous.
That's a true fact.
And here are some others that are perhaps more deserving than Ringo Starr and a lot of others.
So
Deep Purple, not in the Hall of Fame. Kraftwerk
should be in the Hall of Fame.
It should be. Roxy Music, Jethro Tull, The Smiths. I'm going down.
Yeah,
here.
How are The Smiths not? I guess
Graham
hipsters,
Parsons, and yeah, it's just N.W.A. I mean. Big, influential. Chicago? Maybe you don't think all their music has aged
very well.
But
they should be in for sure.
If they'd broken up in 1975, you don't think they'd be in there? They would be.
Yeah. It's a backlash to those terrible Peter Cetera things.
Yeah. The Cure. Big Star. T-Rex. The list goes on.
Yeah. Are you just going off the top of your head here, or what?
No, I'm trying to make it sound real cool like that, but I'm good at scrolling with
I was giving you an out. You're supposed to say, yeah, I wasn't
looking at my
phone at all.
I only do this. I'll admit whenever I'm using a resource.
The breadth of your knowledge.
Should we mention that we did music trivia and we didn't win because Chris wasn't with us?
Yeah, you might have helped out a little bit.
You would have helped. There were weird categories, though.
That sounded
tough.
So backhanded. You might have helped out a little bit. You would have helped out.
Thanks.
But the stuff that we didn't know was so hard. You know, it was...
1988 hip-hop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
You might have been...
That's my wheelhouse.
And there was a featuring thing where we had to say, like, who was a featured vocalist on somebody's dance music.
Right.
We weren't too good at that.
No, of the five, like, three of them, we didn't...
Grant
not only did we not know, yeah, Grant got a couple, but there was 60% of them, I hadn't even heard of these people.
Right.
So
So we're hoping to get an all-star cast, because if we get Barrett and me and Grant. That was our team last time. And if we add Chris, and then we'll invite Jason right now on the air. Jason, you're invited. We think you're the missing piece.
Link.
Yeah.
Piece.
Yep.
I think we also need somebody that's like a senior in high school. I know that, but that like
Grant, a pop music.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody that knows all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
Anyway, I think it's a cop out to induct like the big bands into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then just to keep bringing them back, just start inducting. I know Bruce Springsteen was in first, and then they inducted the E Street Band.
Yeah, did they do AC/DC and then come back and put Angus Young in there? And come on.
Yeah, just to keep, you know, because once all the big bands are gone, I mean, who's going to come back for the ceremony at all?
Right.
Well, that is
so
probably
like 25 years ago now is somebody that came out in 1990.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of stuff that's
there's only a couple things left. Radiohead and Coldplay are left.
Radiohead would be, let's see, their first album came out in 92, 93, something like that.
Let's see. The Bends was probably 95. So, 93 or 94 is when Pablo Honey came out.
Yeah. If only we had some kind of machine to tell us this.
Oh, I know. This thing that I was using to come with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So we're going to pause now while Baird and Chris do some research on their phones.
Iron Maiden is also not in there, nor are the Pixies.
Is Judas Priest in it?
I don't
know.
The first
Pixies had to be...
No, I think I mentioned Judas Priest not being
in it. First Pixies is like 86, 87, something like that?
Yeah.
Is Husker Du in?
I don't know.
I bet that they're not.
Todd Rundgren, not in there.
That's weird because Todd Rundgren, there's a Todd Rundgren display in the museum there.
I'm going to start my own Husker Du for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame movement.
Sure.
It's absurd.
Yep, they are not in there. This is the biggest one, I think.
Yeah.
Besides maybe Wings, the Cars.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Is Queen in there?
Just because Rick Ocasek looks funny.
Queen has to be. All right.
Supermodels.
Let's talk about music now.
Hey.
Are we ready?
I think so. Barrett's scrolling through. He's getting angry now.
The Doobie Brothers are not in there.
What?
I know, right?
Oh, that's weird.
the Doobie Brothers. Go back
Cheap
and
Trick.
Go back and listen to like the Doobie Brothers' greatest hits. And it's not Michael McDonald. It's the other guy that's singing.
So yeah.
Yeah.
When Michael McDonald is the second best singer in your band,
yeah,
like that's saying something.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Put him in there. Is Supertramp in there?
I'm only looking at things. I mean, I'm only coming up off the top of my head with things that are not in there.
Yeah, because you haven't memorized.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Is REO Speedwagon in there?
I don't know.
They would want them in there just so they can come and play the 11-minute version of Riding the Storm Out, right?
Right.
I hear a storm coming!
Wow. You know how they do that?
Dead on. Okay. I thought you'd already started Spotify.
All right. Barrett nominated an album, and I'm going to talk about it first. And Barrett's going to talk about it first. It's a band called Hop Along.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an album called Painted Shut. And we know that they're from Philadelphia.
You're stealing all my lines here.
I know. That was the one thing I know is about them.
No, I also know that their first album came out 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
So in, what would it be, 2030, maybe we'll be talking about them on this podcast being elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Because that's when they'll be eligible.
Yes.
Wow.
As we have determined.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that I had no idea. That they're sort of a veteran band, huh? And now they're getting some press. And
yeah, I had never heard of them, but some of the reviews I saw were suggesting that, now everybody's favorite relatively unknown band is going to get kind of big. So
I should
left me feeling a little bit
I should
left
break
out
in
the
here
cold
and say
here.
That we're broadcasting to the world right now via the internet. So, yes, you guys are on Periscope.
Whoa, okay. Programming note.
So there's a live feed
programming
right now?
Note. He didn't.
Yes.
Did he? I didn't sign any waivers or anything at all. Did you?
No, I didn't.
Look.
So you're the attorney. What can we do? Not an attorney, but you have a law degree. What can we do?
Well, I think we'll.
Can we get some money out of him?
I think we'll need to go off the record and discuss our legal options.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
at the very least, I think he should be suspended from next week's show.
Yeah, probably.
All right. I will self-suspend. Go on. What band were you talking about, Barrett?
Tell us about this Hop Along album, Barrett. Should we play something to get it underway?
Sure. Let's do that. And let's start off with the third song, which I think is a standout.
It's called Horseshoe Crabs.
All right.
To the woods alone. Just look on my face, a vegetable. Be real. Now you gave me money for the water, but I came here instead. I came here.
So there you go. Now, my comments about this are that, first of all, if you took the singer out of it and put anybody else in there with just an average voice, it wouldn't grab me at all. In fact, the guitar parts sometimes are so simple. You know, if they needed a touring guitarist, I think I could get ready to go on tour with them in like a week. And I'm terrible. I don't know. Her voice is emotive and a lot of range. Like, she'll have, I'm not just talking about, you know, the range of octaves or whatever, but, you know, sometimes it's almost a whisper, and then she kind of yell sings just on the south side of, like, screaming, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And has a lot of character in her voice, so that's really what I like about it. And the songs are pretty catchy, but...
Yeah, I listened to it once.
All right.
And I think your description is apt.
Ah, good. All right.
I listened to it more than once. So I'll take the next pick, and then we'll see if anything grabbed Chris on his one listen. Mm. You know, I'm going to defend the guitar playing a little bit. I think it does get... In fact, that is kind of what got me hooked into it a little bit more, because it seemed so vocal-dominated. And then, you know, I liked it more when I got into the whole thing a little bit more. You know, the instrumentation.
But it took you 11 times to listen to it to figure that out.
Yeah. So here... Check out the guitar chops on the last track, Sister Cities.
Thank you.
Let's hop along. Chris, let's turn it over to you.
For what purpose?
How was that one listen of this album for you?
Yeah, I am... It was kind of a passive listen, but I do, like, just even from that song, you could tell. I mean, I really like her tone where, you know, when she tries to stretch it out a little bit and pushes a little bit. That kind of rasp.
Yep.
It's a very pleasant tone.
Yeah. They have a very... You're the recording guy, but would the right word be forward in the mix? Is that kind of what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but the whole recording sounds good, too. I think it's got punchy drums. You know, the whole thing is it's good sound. Well, we need another track. You going to pick one, Chris, or are we going to turn it back to Barrett?
Go to Barrett.
You do what I do when I don't have one. You just pick a random one.
Well, you know it's a good album if it's number seven.
That's true.
Number seven is good. So.
All right, let's see.
Whatever number seven is, we'll go with that.
It's called Powerful Man.
Sun setting on the street. Your dad told you not to look at me. Down came the fist high upon your head. I was the only other adult around. I was the only other adult around. I was 18, you were 8, maybe you were 10. He said, she's not gonna help you. She didn't look too happy to see us. She didn't look too happy to see us. How should I know what she said? That man you just described could be anyone. He said, she's not gonna help you. He said, she's
Well, there we go. I think the theory of seven is, you know, that
confirmed
supports that.
We just theory. Stamp it with a big confirmed.
Right.
It passed stamp. The track seven test.
QED. What does that stand for? Quad era demonstratum or something. It is demonstrated. It is proved that theory. We're going to have some math people out there. They're going to bombard us with cards and letters. But
whenever we get anything wrong, we get like 75 messages correcting us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a big deal when
right.
you get something wrong. Yep. All right. Hop along.
Yeah.
Let's hop along to the next band.
Oh, well, that's what you call a segue.
That's why we get paid.
The podcast biz.
That's why we get paid the big money.
Did that one go out live on the internet?
No.
Oh.
So in the future, we're going to have Chris is going to be here broadcasting live.
Yeah.
Right?
So you can just watch.
You can watch it live.
Yeah, watch whatever we say.
We need to do that. Mount a camera up in that corner over there. So it can be like,
it's,
you know, watching the Rich Eisen show on whatever.
I don't know. There's been some stuff that we've said that we've had to edit out before.
We'll have to be more careful.
You know, it's also an issue.
On the product.
Like,
by we, I mean you.
How do you tell people when to listen when we don't decide when to record until like 12 hours before we record?
Well, it would be... You could do it both ways. Like, one of my favorite podcasts is The Best Show with Tom Sharpling.
Mm-hmm.
They have it. It's on from 9 until midnight, Tuesdays, Central Time. And then, you know, then it's also a podcast. So most people just listen as a podcast. But you could do it either way.
So we'd have to record at the same time every week.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Never mind.
We've tried that.
We could. Yeah, we've sort of tried and done it, like, temporarily.
If we want people to Skype in, like, call in.
What if we just have the camera up there all the time, always, you know, broadcasting on the internet, broadcasting, that's not the right word, but internet casting or whatever, and when we're in here, then there's something to watch, and when we're not, then it's nothing. You can just watch the dog
right.
come and go.
Watch the dog.
Bedroom cam.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of gives me an idea. Maybe we should try to do a call-in show sometime.
Yes.
I think
like
we should.
Like Art Bell.
I mean, we
like,
could,
we do it from Area 57.
is he the coast-to-coast
like,
coast guy?
Tonight, we're leaving Line 3 open for the undead.
Oh, God. Is that show still on?
Oh, God.
Call in.
Oh, my God. Oh,
jeez.
Well, you know, if we decided like That's a month idea. In advance that we're a certain date and time that we're going to be on Skype and be available, and then we could just see if anybody, then the problem would be, of course, if nobody calls us, then it'd be embarrassing.
It'd be pretty sad.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have...
But all of our Australian and other place friends,
right?
It might be like an odd time for them to call in.
Right. Well, we could...
They could be making sweet, sweet love.
We could, we could have our correspondents on call so that they, if nobody else calls, they agree to call us.
That's a good idea. I mean, they'd be welcome to call, wouldn't they?
Sure.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
But what happens when you're on a Skype call and somebody else calls? Is there like a call waiting thing, or do you see? You probably see that it'll beep, right? We'll keep getting beeps on Skype.
We probably want to set something up with like GoTo Meeting or whatever, and have it be more like a teleconference that we could record.
This sounds more of a discussion for post production.
Yeah, it does.
No, I think people are interested in seeing, you know, how the sausage gets made.
Absolutely.
No one wants to see any part of your sausage.
All right. In a reversal of prior precedent, I am bringing up a Hot Chip album. Mm-hmm. You guys are the guys who always talk about Hot Chip.
Yeah, we're the
Hot Chip dudes. And so a new Hot Chip album came out, and I thought, okay, I should listen to this album. And I don't even know if I'm going to like it, but I'm at least going to give it one listen. And the one listen, I liked it. So I'm like, all right, I'm driving down the road in my car, listening to some dance music, and I'm kind of liking it. So,
all right.
So I, you know, you guys have been like historically the bigger Hot Chip fans, and I rode along with you guys, and I sort of liked them. I never got really immersed in them. And this album I'm really getting into. And it's I think it's really consistent and good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of the same as their other stuff in a lot of ways, I think. And Grant says that he hates them and he wants to punch the guy in the face. So that's his review.
Mm-hmm.
And he's totally appalled that I would be putting this on the podcast. But, hey, that's life.
That's life.
Next road trip, you should just play it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Torture him.
Yes, that's what parents are for.
So everybody get ready to dance. Put your dancing shoes on. This
Already
is
on. Done and done.
The new album is Why Make Sense, and I'm going to play track 2, Love is the Future.
Get the guitar track right. We don't know where this man
That's hot chip.
That's very dancey.
Indeed.
I can see why Grant doesn't like it. I don't see what you see in it. I'm okay with that music a lot of the time. I'm just surprised that you are, Will.
Sometimes the hooks just catch me.
Yeah. And I haven't listened to this, to be honest. I was going to play it out running, and just a little bit, I just wasn't in the mood for it, so I turned it off. But so I'll just ask you, the stuff that I liked in the past always had kind of a humorous element. You know, it's not super serious. I'm not talking about jokes or anything, but just like sometimes even the music itself is almost sounds like a style joke a little bit, like listen to this kind of cheesy organ part we're throwing in here or whatever. Does that even make sense? Do you agree with that at all?
Yeah. I can't
That's
really
what
tell
I like about it, but
I can't really tell with this, like what just I just thought it you know, the beats and the hooks were kind of catchy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how serious they are.
It's got a good beat, easy to dance to.
Yeah, that's
you know, like American Bandstand.
Right. Yep.
It's challenging without being confrontational.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it challenging?
It's not challenging
it's
at all.
It's not very challenging. Okay. Should I keep it rolling here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another cut.
Here's another unchallenging track called Cry for You.
Yeah, I like that one. There's a lot going on, you know.
I think it sounds kind of like a 1987 new wave dance hit that I wouldn't have liked back then, but I have a higher tolerance for now for some mm-hmm. reason.
I mean, not done well, that kind of music can sound kind of mechanical, but there's a human feeling to this. Chris is looking at me
Chris looks really skeptical.
The hell up,
no, I have to admit that I am with Grant on this one.
You want to punch the guy in the face?
I want to punch you in the face.
No, I'll be magnanimous and say that the charms of this album have maybe yet to reveal themselves to me.
Yeah.
It is true, in the past I have been a hot chip enthusiast, and there's probably some video somewhere that exists of me enjoying them unironically,
mm-hmm.
dancing about and such. But I feel like my reserve of hot chip fandom has been used up.
It's been used. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
My reserve of patience with you is used up years ago. But yet, I soldier on.
Yeah, well, good for you. You're a trooper. These are a purple heart.
All right. Well, let's keep it moving by doing we'll do the track 7 test on this one. We'll move on from there. Track 7 is called Easy to Get.
First it comes on,
Maybe it's just that I haven't listened to music like this in a long time, and it just seemed fun.
It's a palate cleanser.
That's the word. That's what it is. It's fun. And you know that those little like beep, beep, boop, boop, boop. Yeah. They're throwing those little things. You know that they're not saying that, oh, this would sound really cool. They're just having a little laugh with it.
Yeah, they got it.
You know,
be.
It's very lighthearted. And, but the whole thing doesn't come off as jokey in any way. So they're walking, I think, kind of a fine line and yeah. staying on the right side of it all the time.
All right.
I say that Chris and Grant are wrong. The Track 7 test has proven...
I don't
Will,
know. You're
willing me to be.
You're
correct.
Kind of straddling the line here, though.
How?
It's like you don't like it, but you kind of like it. I don't know. I feel all like you're having it both that, ways on this album.
All yeah. I said was that I wanted to go running, and I didn't feel like listening to it. I was like, meh. And then not, have I said anything bad about it since then?
It's not like he changed his review after they said something mean about him
right.
or something.
That's right.
After I said something mean about it.
Yeah.
Maybe that had something to do with it.
I
Maybe
said something
I came
mean
to their
and then,
defense.
Right. And so his yeah. his review went up as mine went down.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Could be. All
well,
right.
I used you as my reverse barometer, which I don't, I've never told you that, but I usually, if you like something, chances are I'm not going to.
Wow. That is yeah. absolutely not true.
You dislike something. That's a good endorsement for me.
Generally, when we do our top 10 of the year lists at the end, right. like 7 or 8 of our albums are usually the same.
Yeah. I'm patronizing you is what I'm doing.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Mm. I don't like any of that garbage.
You know, there's no telling what the end of this year will bring. It's going to be interesting, I think.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it's only June, but I'm going to say that I know of one album that is going to be in all of our lists.
By the way,
and it's not this one.
Hot Chip is the band a couple years ago when you said this is definitely going to be on my top 10,
mm-hmm.
and you ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was precedent. Yeah. Precedent setting.
My mind is a computer.
It is.
Yeah.
And it only occasionally shuts down unexpectedly.
A virus riddled yeah, yes. computer. You went running Windows 95 on that thing.
That is true.
Windows 95.
Absolutely true.
Oh my goodness.
That's why I still listen to Green Day.
All right. Have you ever heard the phrase, but wait, there's more?
I have now.
Yes.
It applies in this case.
Right.
Because Chris was going to tell us about a movie soundtrack, but I think he's got something better now. Eternal Summers. And I've been listening to this too, but Chris, take it over.
Yeah, so this is a Virginia band, and they have a special place in my heart being from, or at least having gone to college at Virginia Tech, and they are from Roanoke, Virginia, which is about a 20-minute drive from Blacksburg. But yeah, this is like their fourth or fifth album, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I think their last one was only a year ago.
Yeah.
They're prolific.
Yes, they keep cranking them out. And so I'll just get it started with a song. You know, it's a girl singing band, kind of in the mold of what we tend to enjoy. So let's go with the song The Roses.
Yeah.
Eternal Summers.
Yeah, I know we've talked about them on the podcast before, and you liked an album they came out with like a year ago.
Yeah.
I think they got some kind of popularity a couple years ago when the big like surfer band craze was coming out, or the beach band, like Real Estate and Best Coast and Surfer Blood, and you know, all these kind of beachy bands were out there. So
yeah.
And they had that kind of vibe. So
the new album is called Gold and Stone. It is one of those things where you listen to it and it's really not very original, right? But yet it's very enjoyable. So, and the enjoyable, I think, overrides the lack of originality, you know? And I don't mean to be too critical with that comment, but it's kind of not that different from their other stuff either. Mm-hmm. Except that their first couple albums, I think they didn't have the bass player. And so, and you can notice on this last song, I'm sure you guys were totally noticing how important the bass was to that last song.
Well, yeah, you're just, they didn't have a bass player.
Yeah.
Because you are a bass player and you think that that's the most important part of the band.
Did I send you guys that article? Or maybe, did I put it on the Facebook page? Somebody sent me this article that says, according to science, the bass player is the most important member of the band.
Oh, jeez.
According to who?
Why is that? Because he's the guy that has to lug all the equipment in.
It was scientifically proven.
Buy everybody beers after the show.
Science!
I really don't want to switch gears here, but I got to ask you this.
Yes, go on.
Because I want to get back to this, but the 366th most deserving band that is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
According to
notinhalloffame.com.
Okay.
Number 366 is?
366.
Hot Ship.
Nope. They're already in, I think.
Eternal Summers.
Devo.
38 Special.
Oh, no, wow. Nobody guessed that because you assume that they're in, but they're not.
Number 300, does that mean that there are 365 bands more deserving?
Yeah, well, that's even more outrageous than the fact that they're... Right.
Yeah, 38 Special should be in there for sure.
So they're like the Jack Morris of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Always like on the final ballot, never gets in.
Exactly. He'll get in, don't you think? Jack Morris? Man.
Maybe. Should. I don't know. Never seems to. I mean, there are going to be a few years where nobody gets in because of the steroids.
Right.
I guess we may even be passing that point now. But
they'll put in somebody like Dale Murphy in one of those years.
Yeah.
Somebody that's like mostly noted for sticking around for a while.
You know, back-to-back MVPs in like 82 and 83, Dale Murphy.
That's pretty good.
Man, you guys know your trivia.
Did he really? Why isn't he in the hall then?
I didn't know his
credentials were that good.
Yeah.
I think we should keep playing the Eternal Summers album.
Okay.
Black Diamond.
I'm happy with my pick.
That's good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The guitar definitely has like a kind of a Cure sound to it.
And she's really a good singer. That song really highlights her singing ability, I think.
I'd call her singing serviceable.
Wow. Serviceable.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between you guys.
What do we pick a word? Serviceable.
Moderately inoffensive.
Wow. Okay. That's cheating a little bit.
They're listening to this. They're listening to this and they heard the first part. They're like, wow, we're getting a great review. And they're like, oh, this is kind of going downhill now.
No, this I like this album. I'm not going to say it's a 10. It's not a Courtney Barnett album. But who, incidentally, I watched on the Bonnaroo live stream, which is going on this weekend. But yeah, it's good. They do somewhat have the sound of a band that's maybe put out 4 albums in 5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I like it. It's pleasant.
Yeah. Well, we got to pick one more track. Mm. So, Chris, you got one?
Let's go with number 2, Together or Alone. Possible I'm being a little too harsh on them just because I'm sore that they've recorded their last 2 albums in Austin, Texas, and not Roanoke, Virginia, where they recorded their first 2. So
mm-hmm. I guess they went to Austin, Texas for indie rock stardom instead of Brooklyn. They didn't move there, though.
No, not permanently, I don't think. But are you telling me Roanoke, Virginia isn't
a place isn't for indie place rock for, stardom?
Yeah, that's not where indie rockers go.
I don't know. I've never been there, so you can tell me a lot better.
Roanoke, Virginia would be like what Eau Claire is to Wisconsin. Mm. Like if you're Bon Iver and become a big star from Eau Claire.
So in other words, not a huge music scene.
Not a music scene, no. I did go see Neil Diamond in Roanoke once when I was going to college at Virginia Tech.
How far is Roanoke from like what's the closest metro big city area?
Well, D.C. is 3.5 hours away.
Mm, that's a distance.
Yeah. And so Blacksburg's about 4 hours away.
Wow.
Yeah. UVA, Charlottesville is probably about 2 hours away.
All right. So sounds like decent college town, but not big music scene.
In Roanoke?
Yeah.
It's not really a college town. Blacksburg is the college town. Charlottesville is obviously where Dave Matthews Band came from. So they've got a pretty decent scene.
Hmm.
But yeah, D.C. is where you want to be if you want to make it in the biz.
Why is Roanoke a place that everybody's heard of then? What are they known for?
Because
is it like a military
because
thing?
Tiki and Rondé Barber are from there.
That's probably
more
why.
Than that. More than that.
I don't know.
I think it might be one of those kinds of things where, like, I assume that nobody that lives outside of, you know, the Midwest will have ever heard of Fond du Lac, and yet you see it appear as a crossword puzzle answer a lot.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Well, of course, everybody's...
People know about Oshkosh and Fond du Lac and Eau Claire, where you wouldn't think they did.
Of course, everybody's heard of Lynchburg, mm-hmm. because it's just such a horrifying name.
Yeah.
Yep. Why? Isn't that where one of the whiskeys is from? Or that's Tennessee.
Lynchburg Lemonade?
Is that where, like, I think Jerry Falwell, is he from there? Isn't there some... I have some association with that with, like...
Yeah, you're testing my Virginia knowledge. Something like that.
Anyway.
All right. Good enough.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a pleasant sounding thing.
I think...
it's eternally summery.
Yeah. That's a great description, Barrett. Yeah. I guess that's a band name that is kind of descriptive of the music. It doesn't fit that whole...
Sporadically winter?
It's not that whole thing where people love to say that their name doesn't give any clues about what they sound like. This one does.
Right.
Right. Okay, we should sign off. Barrett has important things to do, and I'm sure Chris does too, and I guess I do too. So, yeah.
And the listeners might too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Somebody's probably listening to this before going to work, and they're like, shit.
Yeah. Or their dinner's ready, and they're saying, honey, I just need to listen to this podcast for 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Then I'll be
let's
down
keep
for
talking
dinner.
About stuff.
Yeah.
So some poor guy's getting yelled at by his wife.
We're going to hold
get
him.
To the table.
All right. That's it. That's all we've got. Hey, I got to do post-production with you guys. I got some good stuff to talk about. All right. So, all right. Should we talk to people again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week?
Let's do.
All right. We'll do it. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.